जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीचन बहलप गिरवारे हरि गोपीचन बहलप गिरवारे हरि Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Padraja Pacharasa Terasa Vishishi in His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Nantakota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharjavaya Sakura Ki Jai All glorious assembled devotees All glorious assembled devotees All glorious assembled devotees All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Maham Vishnu Paraya Krishna Sai Bhagavad Shima Bhagavad Swami Bhagavad Namaste Sarasvati and Gauravana Bhajana Vishesha Shri Guru Vasta Sarasvati Namaste Prabhupada Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya A reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 5, Text 19. Nai touch chitram twaisha tur Vadarayana viryaje Grihitonya bhave Grihito nanya bhavena Yatvaya parir ishvara Nai touch chitram twaisha tur Vadarayana viryaje Grihito nanya bhavena Yatvaya haririshvara Nai touch chitram twaisha tur Vadarayana viryaje Grihito nanya bhavena Yatvaya harir ishvara
Thank you.
thank you. Word for word.
Nah.
Never.
Etat.
Etat.
Such inquiries.
Chitram.
Very wonderful.
Toyi.
Inu.
Shata.
Ovidura.
Vadarayana.
Avyasade.
Viryajay.
Born from the semen.
Gudhita.
Accepted.
Ananya Bhavena.
Without deviation from thought.
Yat.
Because.
Twaya.
By you.
Hari.
The personality of Godhead.
Ishvara.
The Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, it is not at all wonderful that you have so accepted the Lord without deviation of thought, for you were born from the semen of Vyasadeva. Report. The value of great parentage and noble birth is evaluated here in connection with the birth of Vidura. The culture of a human being begins when the father invests the semen in the womb of the mother. According to his status of work, a living entity is placed in a particular father's semen, and because Vidura was not an ordinary living entity, he was given the chance to be born from the semen of Vyas. The birth of a human being is a great science, and therefore, reformation of the act of impregnation according to the Vedic ritual called Parvadhana Samskara is very important for generating good population. The problem is not to check the growth of population, but to generate good population on the level of Vidura, Vyas, and Maitreya. There's no need to check the growth of population if the children are born as human beings with all the precautions regarding their birth. So-called birth control is not only vicious, but also useless. Om Jnana Kalandisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Vitamina Tasmai Sri Garve Namaha Vanchakalpa Tribhishcha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Pabitano Pavane Pyo Vaishavidya Namaha. So, interesting verse in purport. Discussing here how Vidura's qualities, and those qualities were that he was very interested in discussing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was due to his good parentage. And specifically, that good parentage was that his father was Vyasadeva. Now, of course, there's a whole story around that, and I think it's discussed a lot more in tomorrow's verse and purport, so I'm not going to go too much into the history of Vidura, you know, who was obviously was Yamaraj, and who took birth on this planet, the brother, or half-brother, I guess, of Pandu and Dhritarashtra, right? Half-brothers, I think? Something like that. I don't know. It's kind of a little trouble following. Hopefully, whoever goes to class tomorrow can, you know, we've spread this all out for understanding all of these connections. But at any rate, the point here of this verse in purport is that purificatory activities are necessary. And they're needed right from the very first point of the living entity entering this material world, which is the point of conception. And by doing so, the elevation of society is increased and the individual's elevation throughout their whole life is increased. So in the beginning of conception, we start with the Garbhadhana samskara. And then there's several other samskaras, purificatory rites, that continue on through one's lifetime in the Vedic system. Now, the Vaishnavas in general, as we read through the Prabhupada's purports and the purports of our acharyas, are not extremely interested in a lot of Vedic sacrifices, purificatory rites, you know, different dharmic rituals and like that. But we are interested in those things which help us to become closer to Krishna, increase our Krishna consciousness, and help others come to Krishna consciousness. Because after all, our process in Kali Yuga is really that which Lord Chaitanya gave us, the Sankirtan Yajna. And not a lot of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices and performances. However, Srila Prabhupada, in many of his purports, and of course in his instructions to us right from the beginning, he did emphasize this particular samskara. And we were always instructed in that. And that was basically, if one wanted to have a child in Krishna consciousness, one did this Garbhadhana, Samskara, or purgatory process. Now, I am sure that in the Vedas, there's probably all kinds of things you do, and fire sacrifices, and jug, right? It's probably some elaborate process given, but Srila Prabhupada gave us a very simple process. He said, if you're going to conceive a child, he chanted 50 rounds that day. I don't know if people still follow that or not, or whether that's, you know, talk to people, I don't know, whether it's common or not, but who knows, nobody ever talked about these things much. But my understanding was most of us did that. If we, you know, way back, and Srila Prabhupada's with us, and this is what he told us, so if we were going to have a child, we would carefully select that day, chant 50 rounds, and, you know, and the idea was that the process of chanting would attract an advanced soul. So in other words, it wasn't to get some good karma or some good activity or to have some son who would make us famous or some daughter who would take care of us in our old age or, you know, anything like that. It was to attract a highly advanced soul, be born into this movement, and have an opportunity to be a devotee and probably be their last lifetime, hopefully, and they would go back to Godhead and they might be a great devotee along the way and help the Sankirtan movement. So that was the idea. And it is necessary to have a spiritually minded population. As we know in Kali Yuga, there are very few. In other words, we needed every advanced soul that we could get, you know, to come and help with this movement, because that is one of the, you know, the actual part of the nature of Kali Yuga, one of its qualities, that people are not advanced. You know, we all know from the Bhagavatam, they're lazy, they're unintelligent, they're easily disturbed, they can't focus, they can't concentrate. They're subject to all sorts of materialistic influences. So, you know, we wanted to give souls to come into this world the best possible opportunity. It's an interesting discussion here about that Prabhupada makes about birth control and proper population like that. I found a nice purport where Prabhupada explains this process, this whole concept a little bit more. And this is from the 10th canto, the 3rd chapter, text 33, and this is where Krishna is talking to Vasudeva and Devaki, and he's explaining some of their background, how they qualified to have this incredible opportunity of having Krishna born as their son. So they'd actually done austerities, right, for very strong, heavy austerities, 10,000 years. Is that when they were, what were they, Dara and Drona? No, that was, they were, what were their names? Krishna and Sutapa. Sutapa and Krishna, yeah. And they did things like, you know, 8 leaves for 10,000 years and very severe austerities at any rate. And so they were given the opportunity to have Krishna born to them 3 times. And of course, this was the 3rd birth as Krishna himself. So in Srila Prabhupada's purport, he talks about this process of how they so much prepared themselves, purified their minds, and became qualified to have Krishna as their son. According to Vedic civilization, procreation should not be contrary to religious principles, and then the birth rate will be controlled. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:11, Dharma Vibhudha Bhuteshu Tamasmi. Sex that is not contrary to religious principles is a representation of the Supreme Lord. So it's not that sex life in this material world is banned or forbidden. That's not that everyone is supposed to be a celibate monk or nun or whatever. But it says people should be educated in how to give birth to good children through samskaras. Beginning with the Garbhadhana samskara, birth should not be controlled by artificial means, for this will lead to a civilization of animals. If one follows religious principles, he automatically practices birth control, because if one is spiritually educated, he knows that the after effects of sex are various types of miseries. I guess in his children? Prabhu Dukkha Bhaja. In other words, basically, I don't think it's a criticism of children that are so miserable. It's the idea that you're entangled, right? You just become so much involved in entangled material world and economic developments. You know, everything that's there within the material life. So one who is spiritually advanced does not indulge in uncontrolled sex. Therefore, instead of being forced to refrain from sex or refrain from giving birth to many children, people should be spiritually educated, and then birth control will automatically follow. Okay, so what's the real purpose of having children? to raise devotees of Krishna. Prabhupada says, if one is determined to make spiritual advancement, he will not beget a child unless he is able to make that child a devotee. This is the same purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18, this is Rabbi Shabdev's teachings, he said, Piti Nasashat, he probably doesn't give it in this purport, but the whole verse is, one who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipful demigod. And Prabhupada says, if one can beget children who will be devotees and taught to turn aside from the path of birth and death, there's no need of birth control. Rather, one should be encouraged to beget children. In other words, as long as children are good children, that they're Krishna conscious, they're making spiritual progress, and you are able to, as a parent, to help them in that process of becoming Krishna consciousness, then you can have as many children as you want. Of course, as you want, maybe not so many. But at any rate, there's no prohibition, is the point. So, Prabhupada here emphasizes in several places this Garbhadana Samskara. And the thing is, we have first, which I'm going to be reading, that there's different ways of looking at different rituals and different sacrifices, yajnas, and different practices. And we have that in terms of our main principle, chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's completely consistent here. Because generally, as I said, the Vaishnava mood is having very little interest in Vedic rituals. But that's why Prabhupada said, just chant 50 rounds. In other words, it's not a big ritualistic ceremony. It's directly a yuga dharma. It's directly chanting Hare Krishna, which is our practice as Vaishnavas, of attracting Krishna through chanting his holy names, to be part of that process. As long as Krishna is part of everything we do, then that's bhakti. That's what we want to do. So, this is interesting. This is a letter from March 1977. I think they don't give the original letter, but it was apparent from the answer that a couple asked about maybe doing other rituals from the Manusamhita for conceiving a child. And I bet there's a lot of them there. But I know there's things you can do to try to determine the gender and all these different things there that might be there in terms of conceiving a child. So they asked Prabhupada about that. And Prabhupada didn't write directly. It's March 77. Prabhupada was probably ill by then, you know. But his secretary wrote the letter. And he said, I discussed the contents of your letter with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada stated that our grihasthas should simply chant 50 rounds before conceiving a child. Prabhupada said, we do not want all these rituals. Chanting Hare Krishna is our only business. According to Manusamhita, you're all mlechas and yavanas. You cannot touch the Manusamhita. What to speak of translating it? So if you try to follow the Manusamhita, then you become a mlecha and yavana and your career is finished. I hope this makes the matter clear. I think it was pretty clear. Very definite. Now, I mean, there may be somebody somewhere who is capable of reading the Manusamhita and following its principles, but I don't think so, because Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbha says nobody is. He clearly says nobody in Kali Yuga can really understand and follow the principles and the original Vedas and Manusamhita and things like this. Therefore, it's a long progression of logic, but it ends up, of course, as we know, therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is our scripture, it's our literature. This is our gold standard of knowledge. This is what we take as absolute truth. Depictions of Krishna and Krishna's incarnations and Krishna's energies as given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And which does not emphasize, of course, a lot of Vedic rituals. Now, it's kind of interesting, thinking about what is Dharma, what is Varnashram Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, what is A-Dharma? Well, first, let's just dispose of A-Dharma. A-Dharma means going against religious principles, sinful activities. Where does that fit in the Vedic system? It doesn't. You know, we don't accept A-Dharma. Sinful activities, you know, are just, there's no real part in them except for, you know, further going down to the hellish planets. Now, when we talk about Dharma, there's different meanings for Dharma. Dharma has many different definitions, but often we think about it as ritualistic activities for advancement. And of course, you know, that we see in the Vedas. And that's rejected, basically, by Vaishnavas, right from very clear in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, what does he say? Reject what? Well, I mean, what do we reject? The flowery words of the Vedas, right? And, oh, then, of course, Sarvadharma Prachaja, we give up all dharmas. So we give, that was actually correct. We give up all dharmas, and it's simply worship Krishna. I was looking at Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in the Jiva Dharma. In the beginning, he talks about Naimittika Dharma and Nitya Dharma. It's a very interesting discussion. Sometimes it's translated very simply that it can mean temporary dharmas and permanent or occasional dharmas and ones you do all the time. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it has a little deeper meaning. To distinguish it more clearly, it's the difference between like temporary pious or dharmic activities and Nitya Dharma, which is the eternal activities of the soul. Right? So those are also called Sanatana Dharma, Prabhupada often uses Nitya Dharma, these other types of words are there. And this is really what we're interested in. This is from a purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita Modula 860. This is the discussions with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. And of course they're very interesting, we're all pretty familiar with this, the whole progression where Ramananda Roy, on being questioned by Lord Chaitanya, says, tell me, explain the purpose of life, what's really important, what's meaningful, and he begins from the beginning. And he goes deeper and deeper and deeper until finally Lord Chaitanya is satisfied when he talks about pure devotional service. So this is from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 860. The Lord has said that the Varnashram Dharma is not properly executed in this age of Kali. Therefore, he ordered Ramananda Roy to go further into the matter. Ramananda replied with this verse in Bhagavad Gita 9.27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Varnashram Dharma, one may offer the results of his activities to Lord Sri Krishna loving service. Naturally, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Roy first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature, but transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. So sometimes this can become a little confusing. In ecology, I'll get into that a little bit more, but it talks about life in the material world. And Varnashram, of course, is a system for dealing with people who are in the three modes of nature. Once a devotee is more transcendentally realized, it's not necessary. It's not needed. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the absolute highest possible world. I can't even say he's on the highest platform because he is the highest platform. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't really so interested. You know, he was exhibiting the highest bhakti in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Right? So he is here in Mahabhava. So he's not too interested in Varnashram Dharma. Although for the rest of us who are in these body material modes of nature, it may still be relevant. Here's one other verse. I thought this was kind of a strong one. Oh, this is, by the way, from Bhaktisiddhartha Jiva Goswami, verse 100. Vishnu speaks to Shiva. If they desire to attain me, they cannot attain me by other means. The lives of those whose hearts are contaminated by Kali Yuga and who practice Varnashram are useless. The lives of those who desire to surrender to me are not useless. So in other words, Kali Yuga is very difficult to implement Varnashram, very difficult to follow it. Better to just surrender to Krishna, Sarvadharma, and Purchajaya. In other words, this is actually a verse directly from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.10. I consider a dog eater who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, to the Supreme Lord, superior to a Brahmin who has all 12 items of the previous verse. Those are all good qualities of a Brahmin. But who is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord. He purifies his whole family, the dog eater, whereas the so-called respectable person does not. So in other words, often Brahmanism is associated with Varnashram being the highest place in the Varnashram system. being the Brahman. But if the Brahman is not a devotee of Krishna, is not worshiping Krishna, it's considered to be useless. But it does have value. Varnashram Dharma has value when it's aimed at serving Krishna. Sometimes people probably will call this Daivi Varnashram, distinguishing it from more a mundane sense of Varnashram Dharma, which is really meant more for elevation, which is good. For those people who are very much in the modes of nature, they need to follow the principles of religion, they need to behave properly, and make gradual advancement. But Daivi Varnashram is really more when Varnashram system is connected to Krishna. Otherwise, it has no value. And of course, we have a very well-known verse from Bhagavatam 1.2.8. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position, which is Varnashram, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So again, it all has to do with one's purpose, one's consciousness, and how one approaches everything within this material world. And it's also stated, this is again from the Bhaktisandarbha, verse 148, the Varnashram system originates from the limbs of the Lord, according to Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.2. Bhakti must always be performed per the rule of all rules and prohibitions are servants of always remembering the Lord and never forgetting Him. This is the highest Nitya Karma or Dharmic rule. So in other words, which really says the same thing as the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, that if it doesn't help us to remember Krishna, it's really of no value. Okay? Lord Vishnu spoke to King Prithu. And of course we know that Prithu is a Shaktadesha avatar of the Lord, who is specially endowed with the Shakti of, I guess you'd say, administration, or ruling. You know, there's different devotees who are empowered by Krishna. Vyasadeva is empowered as a literary incarnation of Krishna. Narada Muni is empowered in devotional service to teach bhakti. Prithu Maharaj was similarly empowered to show us good management and good administration as a king. So he advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Varnashram. And Prabhupada says, in this age, however, since the system of Varnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, it is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. As Varnashram Dharma is executed from different positions by different men, so the Krishna consciousness principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. In other words, you say, well, what are you? Are you a Brahmin? Are you a Shudra? Are you this? Are you that? Most of us are very mixed up, aren't we? We do all kinds of things. In fact, a devotee does whatever's needed. That's part of the rule. But, you know, if we really look at it, we don't see that people really are in pure varnas. And even ashrams often aren't real strict or very clear, you know, on where they sit. So because everything is so mixed up and difficult, Saprabha says, but the Krishna consciousness principles are clear. They can be followed by everyone all over the world. And there's another one. Prabhupada says again, Svadharma means Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. He said, real Svadharma is spiritual Svadharma. And the spiritual, when we go deep in the matter, you understand I am not this body, I am the soul. That is real Svadharma. And what is the occupation of Svadharma? That is to be engaged in the service of the Lord. And then quotes, of course, from the Majjhalila, chapter 20, which is the very first instruction that Lord Chaitanya gives to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami says, everyone thinks I'm a learned man. You know, he was brilliant, spoke eight languages, you know, advisor to the king. He says, but I don't even know who I am. So Lord Chaitanya says, I'll tell you who you are. Jivarasrudhaya Nitya Krishnadas. Jivarasrudhaya Krishnara Nityadas. Everyone is servant of Krishna. Prabhupada says, actually, that is Svadharma. Every soul is eternally servant of Krishna. That is spiritual Svadharma. Material Svadharma means Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So, is it a conflict between Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, Vaishya Svadharma? Not really. The problem of human life is what? Control of the senses, material desires, materialistic consciousness, the modes of passion, ignorance, totally besetting the entire world in Kali Yuga. So human beings must live according to religious principles. They must control the senses. There must be regulated life. We must create an orderly society. Therefore, the need for varnashram. But bhakti, pure service is above those principles, and Lord Chaitanya rejected them. So we do follow both. We don't neglect duties or moral behavior, yet the principle is devotional service to Krishna. We follow the dharmic principles as long as on the bodily conception of life. A lot of several acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that in Jaya Dharma and Krishna Samhita. But when one's more advanced, what does one do? He doesn't necessarily need to follow these principles, but they do to set example. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita, whatever great men do, others will follow their example. So even if one does not need to follow rules and regulations of society, one does. One doesn't create a disturbance in society. Haridas Thakur. Namacharya Haridas Thakur, right? Our greatest example, one chanting the holy name of the Lord. Born in a Muslim family, is he not qualified to go in Lord Jagannath's temple? Of course not. He's probably Lord Jagannath's greatest devotee. But he didn't. Just not to disturb the conventions of society, even though it was totally wrong. Even though it was totally by the conception of life. And Rupa and Sanatana, both. They considered themselves outcasts from Brahminical society. They just accepted that. They didn't really care. They're Vaishnavas. So they don't really care, but they didn't necessarily accept, you know, cause any commotion or disorder or bring attention. You know, they just followed it to go along, more or less. And even if one is on a high platform, there's an interesting little book by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur called Raga Vartna Chandrika. And it describes Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunuga Bhakti. And Vishnu Chakravarti says there that even if one is on the platform of Raghunuga Bhakti, which means one is involved in spontaneous service, but one doesn't necessarily have to follow the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, which is devotional service and practice, still one does, except in two situations. That one is not yet on the pure platform of prema, so that rules out 99.99% of us, or one has situated as some position in society or spiritually, if one has a position. So someone like Srila Prabhupada, who is situated completely, you know, in prema, at the highest stage of devotional service, because he's acting as Acharya's guru, he'll follow. He'll follow the practices, you know, the set example for his disciples and for the rest of society. So we don't act contrary to Dharma, laws, or rules of behavior. We want to set an example with exemplary character and behavior. In a letter to Rupanuga Prabhu, and not to get into it too much, but there was some controversy about book distribution techniques, because as devotees really wanted to please, I'm going to say it nicely, they wanted to please Srila Prabhupada. So they kind of expanded their repertoire of techniques more and more and more to be able to sell more books and thus please Srila Prabhupada. But sometimes there's a line that's crossed. And so Rupanuga, I don't know if any of you know Rupanuga Prabhu, he was a very, very moral, ethical person. I was working with him in Washington, D.C. for a couple of years there. He wrote to Srila Prabhupada about this, and Srila Prabhupada said, regarding the controversy of book distribution techniques, you were right. Our occupation must be honest. Everyone must adore our members as honest. If we do something which is deteriorating to the popular sentiment of the public in favor of our movement, that is not good. Somehow or another, we should not become unpopular in the public eye. Okay. So in Kali Yuga, we follow the Sankirtan Yoga of hearing and chanting. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.12, this is where it says, the sages say, we have just begun the performance of this fruit of activity, a sacrificial fire, without certainty of its results due to the many imperfections in our actions. Our bodies have become black from the smoke. But we are factually pleased by the nectar of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, which you are distributing. So here the sages say, we're doing this very, very elaborate sacrifice, sacrificial performance in the fire. And they say basically all we're getting is black from the smoke. We're not even sure it's working. But we're very satisfied with the knowledge that this would have been Sutta, I guess. 118? I think, yeah. That Sutta Goswami, having heard from Shukadeva Goswami, was giving them about the pure message of Godhead. And Prabhupada says, the scripture injunctions in Ajikali are that no fruitful sacrificial performance but the sacrifice of a congregational chanting the holy name of the Lord. Sutta Goswami was narrating the transcendental activities of the Lord before the congregation of sages, and they were factually perceiving the result of hearing these transcendental activities. So, we recognize the need for rules and regulations for Varnashram system to maintain social order, although we do understand, on the other hand, that it is not as important to the devotees and not important as their movement is the establishment of hearing and chanting the Sankirtan Yajna that Lord Chaitanya gave us. And this is what Srila Prabhupada, of course, taught us and instructed us. I want to just tell one, I think I've told this before, but it's a little anecdote that's kind of interesting. When Srila Prabhupada was preparing to leave from this material world and go back to Krishna, in his very last week of material life on this planet, Bhakti Chiruswami, the one Tim Prabhupada called for him, he's talking to him, and this is what Srila Prabhupada told him. And I heard Bhakti Chiruswami cite this, tell the story, and you know, and I wanted to make sure I had it really right. So two different times over the years, I talked to Bhakti Chiruswami again. So three times I heard the same story in the same words from Bhakti Chiruswami. So I think I got it right, at least, from what he said. And Prabhupada was asking him how things would go on and the preaching and what we would do after he leaves and that kind of thing. And Bhakti Chiruswami said, well, we still haven't established Varnashram or something like that. And he said very clearly, Prabhupada said, Varnashram is for the outsiders, not the devotees. So we have to be careful and understand, and sometimes I think devotees may misunderstand Prabhupada's intention. We need to establish Varnashram for outsiders. That means for those who are in the material world, who are not following principles, who need a way of gradually advancing in Krishna consciousness, but not the devotees. That means we don't need to label devotees, you're a Shudra, you're a Brahmin, you're this, you're that, by Bali designations. Because pure Vaishnavas and those of us who are trying to become pure Vaishnavas have no need and nothing to do with the Bali concept of life. We're not interested in what nationality you are, or whether you're a man, or whether you're a woman, or whether you are more Brahminically engaged because you happen to be a little intelligent, or whether you are engaged in working around the temple, or whether you're engaged in deity worship, or out distributing books, or preaching, whatever it may be, makes no difference. What we're interested in is that we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. That all of the members of our society have the opportunity and are given opportunity, and we help spread that opportunity for more and more people to advance in Krishna consciousness, to come to Krishna's lotus feet, to come to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And that can be done in any number of ways. We can give them a set of Srimad Bhagavatams, or we can sweep the floor, right? Or whatever, or serve the devotees in so many ways. And that way, we're pleasing Krishna. We don't have to make designations or worry about that so much. But are we hearing, chanting, and remembering the holy names, form, pastimes, qualities, associates, and lila of the Lord? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Questions, comments?
So in those days, we were told to chant these 50 rounds before we conceived, and we did. But sometimes we look at our children, it doesn't seem so evident that, you know.
I didn't want to say that, but you're probably right.
So do we just have faith that it's going to happen, or we just don't see it?
I'm not quite sure how to answer that. Did everyone hear that? The idea was, you know, the older devotees may have all taken that to heart, the chanting 50 rounds before conception, but maybe the next generations don't so much. I think it would be wonderful they did, because it was Prabhupada's instructions and it makes sense. You know, I mean, in other words, it's not like something like, wow, how did, why that? No, it makes absolute sense. I guess it wouldn't be my first preaching point with the next generation. I think we've got some other things to go before that, like chanting 16 rounds first. You know, in other words, pick your battles. Anything else?
Thank you for your wonderful class. My question is, you mentioned earlier that some devotee had written about to share Prabhupada about Manusamhita or following something for Garbhadhan Sanskar or something.
Oh, when he was asking about following Manusamhita, you mean?
Yeah, for somebody wrote a letter or something to Prabhupada.
Yeah, it's actually Madhusudan, by the way. He's a nice guy. People know him. He passed away. Wonderful devotee. One of the original New York devotees, I think.
So that question kind of implies, at least in my mind, that, you know, the desire to maybe do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Even knowing that 50 rounds is the way, but
adding on, kind of.
Add something.
Doing more. Yeah.
A little more. And so I see that, you know, that devotees have a desire to sometimes do something more. Like, you know, we have our jagyas, we do a house jagya, this, that, whatever. But it seems like...
Karti, you know.
What's that?
Karti.
Yes.
50 different vratas to do.
Different vratas. But sometimes... I had attended one jagya, and when the person was doing jagya, somebody had asked to do some kirtan while the jagya was going on, or while they were saying different prayers. And the person who was doing the jagya told to please stop the kirtan because the mantras are not being heard, or some, whatever the mantras was being. So my question is, or like you to comment, is if we have desire to do other things, and usually these jagyas usually do have Krishna's names, you know, the devotees who do the jagya, it's always Krishna's name doing things. Is that something encouraged?
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, a couple different ways of looking at it. One, we can take a very strict standard and say, the Prabhupada didn't do it, we're not going to do it. And sometimes I feel that way, honestly. I'm a little bit reactionary like that. You know, the Prabhupada didn't tell us to do it, why should we start doing it? But on the other hand, Prabhupada did teach us a fairly basic, we were basic, we were beyond basic. We were like total neophyte, we were babies, you know, in devotional service. So sometimes things, and we did see that even with Prabhupada, standards like deity standards would increase over time. We might tell us originally, just do something real simple, and then later we would get more prayers, you know, and things would increase. And there's also the point of how much Prabhupada was in other words, we need to study a little bit. This is something Prabhupada wanted. Like I understand, like I know something like when Lord Govinda Prabhu came and did our installation, right, near Krishna Balaram. I mean, now he did a lot of things, probably, but we know that Prabhupada directly instructed him. You know, as far as I know, this is what I've heard, that Prabhupada instructed him to go to South India where it was and learn these things. So, you know, it's bona fide because Prabhupada told him to do it, you know, and that we should increase a little bit. So I think we just have to be careful. The other thing is sometimes if Prabhupada hasn't said anything directly, we can see our past acharyas, which I've kind of done because there's some things like what I see is... at least the people who wrote the most about the process and principles of bhakti were Rupa Goswami, of course, you know, nectar instruction, nectar devotion, and probably Jiva Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta, and all of his works. And from reading them, what I can see is that they didn't emphasize doing these things a lot outside of, you know, the nine processes of bhakti, or service. However, Kartik is mentioned. Rupa Goswami put some emphasis on Kartik, and Jiva Goswami does, he says, because Rupa Goswami did. You know, who's this guru, his spiritual master. And so some of the vratas and things, and paying some attention to that is okay. But they also emphasized the vratas to do, which were, guess what? It's real exotic, something you never heard before. Hearing and chanting. Increase your hearing and chanting is what specifically they say. Now, if you want to, you know, put your hands behind your back and eat off the floor on a paper plate, you know, only unsalted, you know, khichdi every day, fine, go for it. I'm not going to do it. But I will try to increase hearing and chanting because that's what Prabhupada and Acharyas have told us is the best vrata.
Yeah.
I'm opinionated. I'm sorry. Others may have. Feel free to disagree. Or, you know, well, let's go ahead and finish.
I guess in my mind I was thinking because all of us may not be on the certain pattern, just hearing and chanting. And so therefore when we have these jagyas or different things that... And because Krishna's name is there, or, you know, and I guess I'm a little, yeah, I just wanted to hear from you, so I appreciate your,
I don't know if I'm getting the essence of your question. Can you say it again?
I guess, like my experience at that time when the person said, you know, please stop the chanting, kirtan going on because these mantras are coming, are being chanted. So I was thinking that how... Some people may not be so much interested in hearing and chanting, or we get, let's say we are at the level, we're at a certain level, and therefore these other rituals might help us to bring on a higher platform. I guess those are some of the thoughts I'm thinking.
Could be. Someone may feel that way or think that way. I mean, the nine processes in one sense are easy. And it is stated if one perfects any of the nine processes, and one of them is archanam. Right?
Yeah.
Worshipping the deity, and I think that would kind of fit into that. And that is one of the processes, is someone can become very perfect at that and become pure. However, as far as I know, Prabhupada, all of our acharyas and Chaitanya really emphasize hearing and chanting. I didn't want to say too much for a specific example, because I don't want to be critical of anyone. I don't know their motives and what it was. Maybe, you know, there was too much background noise or something, and you couldn't... But we also think of the example of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan, which is a pretty important installation, what did Prabhupada say was the main thing? He brought in all these Gaudiya Vaishnavas, right, to do all the rituals and do all the different performances. And Prabhupada said, we all heard the story, most important thing was the chanting of the holy name that went on. He said, that is the installation. So, you know, I guess that's hard for me to see how... Couldn't have a chant of the holy name going on. But
thank you.
I was doing some research on Varnashram. I was doing some research on Varnashram, and I was trying to understand myself also how important it is. But then the conclusion that I understood that Varna mostly deals with the body, bodily needs, in the least uncomplicated and most harmonious way according to one's psychophysical nature, which most of the second generation or even nowadays in America I see a lot of devotees suffers. Because their psychophysical nature, they have a inborn some nature which is not aligned sometimes with the devotional. They want to make money, they want to enjoy this, that. So Varnashram, I think it's very important from that sense, because ashram, what I understand, ashram gives a time sensitive to spiritual commitment, to progress in spiritual path. So both are required. I want to hear from you, because I think both are so important in a sense.
Just real quickly, in one sense, everyone follows Varnashram Dharma, doesn't it? Didn't Prabhupada say that? In every society, there are those who are the intellectuals, there are those who are the workers, there are those who are managers, those that are farmers or do business. So that's natural. There's a natural division of people. I guess what I'm saying is that in Vaishnavism, we're not as concerned with labeling them, or because our very, very strong conviction is that everyone, the chandala, the dog, everyone can become a devotee of the Lord and be on an equal basis. I guess the question would be, do we have the capability to be able to establish, support, maintain a Varnashram system for all those people who maybe are not devotees in our society to help make advancement? I guess maybe that's coming. But I don't think I'll live to see it, to be honest. You know, I mean, maybe as we get more and more devotees, that'll be there. But I think we're still kind of in those beginning stages, you know, where we're still just trying to spread the Sankirtan movement and sort of, sometimes we talk about making devotees. I don't think we really make devotees, do we? I think we collect those devotees that Lord Chaitanya has sent out there. You know, we just sort of, you know, bring them, help to find them. They're there already. We're not making them so much, you know. But, I don't see it as very much so much in our... Now, sometimes I think there's also another thing that gets confused here. Well, sometimes people are very interested in things like farming and protecting cows, and they say, well, probably one dog. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I don't consider that like establishing Varnashram Dharma. That's just wonderful. That's human life. That's how we should be living. That's the example that we want to set for people. So I'm all for devotees who want to, you know, grow food, protect the cows, you know, do those types of things, you know, for so many good reasons, you know. But I'm not going to say, oh, they're just a Vaishya or something.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a CPD here. He's been waiting for a while.
Patiently
waiting, too. He hasn't blurted out.
You know, you don't have to establish. I mean, we should be engaging Varna, just like we engage Ashram. Look, we engage propensities. We always engage propensities. It's just common sense. We don't necessarily have to establish a whole Varna and Dharma mythical culture, or we just do something common sense. And if you know how to do the common sense to establish, you know, engaging, then this other stuff will come out of that. I mean, it's just one way to look at it. I mean, if you don't know how to engage people with propensities, what Varna and Dharma are you going to establish? You don't know how to do it. So, yeah, I mean, it's not one or the other.
I think it's a good point. In other words, we're already doing this. I mean, if somebody is coming to Krishna consciousness or we're in some position of magic, what do we do? First thing we do is we see what is a person, what can they do? What are their abilities? What are their propensities? And try to engage those. Because that's the first step, is probably called dovetailing. Dovetailing the things that we already can do, want to do, or like to do, we're good at, for Krishna. Then as one advances, one becomes more and more willing to do anything for Krishna. Any Krishna or Guru that wants us to. Okay?
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for being this class. I guess my question is who is a devotee? Like, in that case, we're talking about the ashrams for outsiders. So if I'm first and second initiated, but I still eat in restaurants. I still like to watch movies. I like to play sports. Where does that put me? Do I need that help from Varnashram or no? I'm still... Do you understand my question?
Well, I have my own opinion on that. I don't know if I have a good scriptural reference or on it.
Your opinion is good enough for me.
I think that means that you are a devotee. You're not an outsider. Need a little help in, you know, tightening up your devotional service practices a little bit, you know, we have different times in life when we're maybe more serious, less serious, you know, more committed, and you know, that happens. It's Kali Yuga. Devotional service, although it's a very simple process, we couldn't get a more simple process, it still is difficult for us in many ways, you know. And, you know, Krishna knows that. Krishna allows for that to some degree. You know, some of the famous verses of Lord Brahma's prayers. But, you know, even if you can't, well, I don't know if I can paraphrase it well, but you know what I'm saying. But even if there is some material attachment, or even if there is some difficulty, you just stay with it. you keep them really paraphrasing here, but basically you just really stay with the process and you become purified. You know? And it's no, I don't think you need to build a whole Varnashram service for when some of our devotees get a little bit, you know, off the path a little bit. Which I think is temporary. Right? I mean, I've seen people look like they were really kind of not so serious for many, many years in their life. And you see them one day and they're 65, 70 years old and they're come back strong, you know. You know, there's a certain point where there's no other shelter than Krishna that we come to and we all come back, I think. Anyway, I'm optimistic. No, a person who knows the philosophy, has taken initiation, it's kind of like once you've tasted Krishna consciousness, you know, that's it. You know, you're not going to be an outsider. Well, okay, we're pretty late here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.